Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and you're back again, another Sunday, another day. Thank you for listening. Please stay with me. It'll be 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, education, and we always do that with no manipulation, no request for money, not trying to sell you anything, no hidden agendas. This show is only about one thing, accurate information. Accurate information that we hopefully can give you that will help you verify as well as identify the plan of God for your life. And if you can do that, you always have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. We say these same words every Sunday. It's always the way we start our show. And thank you for listening. I know you've heard it before, but it bears repeating. We learn by means of repetition. If you're going into the military, you got to learn how to forward march, to outface. You know, you got to learn through repetition. So they put them on the drill field and march and march and march till they can do it in their sleep. And it's the same way with God's Word. We learn God's Word through repetition. If somebody tells you, I heard that before already, that's just a good indication of negative volition. Not interested. Give me something new, something I haven't heard before. And you know, the problem with that is oftentimes the rate of forgetting exceeds the rate of learning. And someone that doesn't want to hear it again, well, sometimes they're just in bad shape. So sometimes you may hear me repeat something I've said before, but it's always for your benefit. It's always led by God the Holy Spirit as I'm in fellowship when I teach it to you. And remember, I'm not a pastor. My job is to point you to a pastor. My job is to tell you that you need that well-qualified man that can teach you God's Word so that you can study under him on a consistent basis, just like I do in my own home, every day sitting down, in my case, with a DVD and watching my pastor teach an hour-long Bible class every day. That's the way my church functioned. We functioned with a Bible class. Not necessarily a big worship service, but a Bible class. And we learn God's Word, and we apply it into our life. And that's what I'm trying to encourage you to do, to get into a consistent routine of where you're learning God's Word and applying it into your life. That's called momentum. Momentum. Remember Jesus, our Lord, said in Luke 11, 27 and 28, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's Word and keep it. That's momentum. Hear it and keep it. You cannot keep what you don't hear. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by means of the Word of God. So if you don't hear the Word of God, you can't keep it. You cannot build a biblical inventory of divine viewpoint unless you're being taught something. And so you have to hear God's Word. And even though I can teach you and I can give you a lot of information, my spiritual gift really is the evangelist. I function outside the local church predominantly. I can go into a church, and I quite often do. And quite often I will fill in for my very own pastor. We have those available on DVD anytime you'd like to see them. We have them. They're hour-long shows. Sometimes it'll be four at a time. But again, that's not my job. I mean, I can do that. I can encourage you. I can take you on a challenging study through the Word of God. But in the end, we all need a qualified pastor to sit under, consistently listening, learning, and growing every day until we begin to project the image of Christ in our life. Now, we have been talking about the enemies of the soul. I told you earlier that all of us have a soul. It's the invisible, the immortal part of us. The body will die, the soul will not die. Inside your soul, you have volition. You have the ability to choose. You have a conscience, and that's where all of your norms and your standards are housed. You know, the norms are what your parents teach you growing up, and the standards are what the Word of God teaches you. What guides your life? What puts a fence around you, a hedge around you, and protects you? Your conscience is that protecting factor. And in the world that we live in today, when your conscience clashes with the culture, then you have to make some tough decisions. And as the culture in this country changes daily, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to orient to the culture. And so do you assimilate into the culture, or do you stand apart from the culture? Those are questions you have to answer. So think about these things as we go through what I'm about to tell you today. See, today we're going to talk about the enemy of the soul called arrogance. Now, make no doubt about it, arrogance is a sin. Yes, it is. But it has to be looked at for a couple of reasons. Number one, because God will devote more scripture to arrogance than any other sin in the Bible. It's a sin of special danger, and our Father wants us to be aware of it. And secondly, the sin of arrogance is the basis for all sin and evil, beginning in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says in Proverbs 29:23, a person's arrogance will bring him low, but a lifestyle of humility will obtain honor. You see, arrogance was the original sin of Lucifer, the son of the morning, as he's called in the Bible, known more to us as Satan. Because of his arrogance in pronouncing himself better than the Most High God, he was sentenced to incarceration in the lake of fire forever. You can read about it in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. Because of arrogance, Eve, the wife of Adam, decided that she should be greater than her husband, greater maybe even than God himself. Therefore, when Satan told her, God's trying to hide something from you, he doesn't want you to know what he knows, you need to go ahead and eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she did it. Genesis 3, 1 through 17. You can read how she fell for the lie of Satan, and she was deceived. So I want you to know that God punishes the sin of arrogance, just like he did with Satan, just like he did with Eve. And the reason is because arrogance always leads to more sin. And our Father, he wants to awaken us early to the arrogance problem before we get enslaved to it, before it corrupts our souls, even to the point of a premature death. In 2 Peter 2:19, whatever a person succumbs to, that he's a slave to. So what is arrogance? What is this king of all sins? It's unreasonable conceit. It's preoccupation with self. It's insolence. It's rejection of authority. Vanity, or the exaggeration of your own importance. Now, in other words, you start thinking that you had something to do with who you are or what you have, and you forgot that everything you are or have comes from God, and that he can take it all from you just as easily as he gave it to you. That's what you have to remember. You know, arrogance is identified by three things: self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption. Again, self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption. So an arrogant person will eventually self-destruct. Under self-justification, he will justify why it's okay to violate the law. He will justify why it's okay to malign his neighbor. He will justify why it's okay to steal. He will justify why it's okay to do anything. Because he lies to himself, self-deception. He doesn't see himself as he really is. He sees himself as he thinks he is. And if he has an unrealistic self-image, then obviously he's going to have unrealistic expectations. So suppose you think you're pretty awesome. You're a pretty awesome specimen of the human race, and you might be. But what will happen to that physical magnificence if you suffer some sort of indelible scarring? For that matter, what happens as you get older and you start to wrinkle up? Your skin discolors, the bags get under your eyes. Psalms 102, verse 11. Read about it right there. Sure, you can go to the dermatologist and have some cosmetic surgery, but your best attempts will not halt the aging process. It just may look a little more weird. So take that thought all the way to the conclusion. How beautiful will you be after you rot in a grave for a while? Job 19:26. That may be a gruesome image to you, but it should make the point that you had nothing to do with gaining your physical beauty, your ability, your brains, and nothing in the beginning, and you can do nothing to retain it in the end. Beauty, ability, brains, they're all a gift from the grace of God. Listen to Ecclesiastes 9:11 and what Solomon said. I further observed while on the earth, the race is not always won by the swiftest. The battle is not always won by the strongest. And prosperity is not always gained by the intellectual. Wealth is not always accumulated by the most discerning men. Nor does success always come to men of greater ability. Time and chance overtake them all. Ecclesiastes 9:11. Now, on the other side of the coin, you might be thinking, well, I'm not very attractive. I'm not very handsome. I'm not very popular. I'm not very great athletically. Well, so what? And so you think, I'll never commit arrogance because that's not the way I am. Well, you just did commit arrogance. The moment you thought that you wouldn't sin is the moment your arrogance ambushed you. Because you deny the very truth of God's word, which says all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. The Bible says there is none good, no, not even one. All of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. So you see how easy it is to get arrogant? You see how easy it is to dirty up the thinking in your soul? The moment you become preoccupied with yourself, you fall into the trap. If you've ever felt fear or panic or terror or even little bitty stabs of anxiety, arrogance is invading your soul. See, you decided when you had that fear, panic, terror, anxiety, you decided that God's promise of safety and security and happiness doesn't apply to you right now. You're in a terrible situation, and God doesn't even know what's going on, and He can't help me in this situation. And that's dangerous. That's embarrassing. You see, your problem is too great for God's omnipotence to handle? Is that what you're saying? See, that's arrogance. Now, consider the arrogance of something you might not like me telling you, but it's called Christian activism. Because of arrogance, you decide the United States of America should be a Christian nation. Wouldn't it be wonderful, you say, if every American was a Christian and everybody was going to heaven? Well, of course it would be. Then why could that be arrogant to demand that the United States be a Christian nation? Well, because you cannot force your views on others. You are not God. But you decided God made a mistake in giving volition to people, and so they should all be Christians. Listen, if God wanted mankind to be volitional robots, little automatons, He would not have created the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and He wouldn't have given Adam and Eve a chance. He gave them an opportunity. He tested their volition. You can do anything in here you want, but don't eat of that tree. You see, arrogance will always make you presume that you have the responsibility to change people, to make everybody Christians. Well, every American, every person in the world, they got a right to choose. They can choose not to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's right. Or they can choose to believe in Jesus Christ. Either way, it's their choice. The person that decides to reject Christ is unbelievably stupid. But God gives everybody the right to be stupid if they want to be. Now listen, God wants the United States to be a client nation. We have been a client nation for a long time. We've had the freedom to present the gospel accurately and often all across the world. And when freedom prevails, people have a choice, their own volition, to make their own decision. They learn God's will for their lives. Their country remains free, the gospel continues to be spread, and more people accept Christ as Savior. See, one of the things we've done today is we've taken away the choice to our young people. We told young people, you can't hear about God in our schools anymore. That's a violation of the right of two or three individuals that may be atheists in the whole school. So now we don't give people a choice anymore. We don't tell them the choice. We say, well, just go down to church. You can learn your choices down at the church. Well, everybody doesn't go to church. And so for years, we had the privilege to minister to young people and give them the information and let them make the choice. We don't let people make that choice anymore. We've taken away that opportunity. We're in trouble. America's in trouble, I assure you. You see, we can give the good news of Jesus Christ to others, and we ought to do it. I mean, if God puts us in front of somebody and they ask a question or two, tell them the truth. Jesus Christ did the saving work on the cross, not me, not you. If we think otherwise, that's arrogance. See, we can't do it ourselves. We can't save ourselves. That's why the Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should brag about it. So he does everything, we do nothing. We just learn to love him by learning his word and learning what he's like. Therefore, we come to realize God's faithful. We come to realize his love is never failing. Even if we are unfaithful to the point of arrogantly denouncing him to be God to begin with. Listen to what the Bible says. This is in Revelation 3:7. This is a solemn pronouncement of the holy and the truthful one, Jesus Christ. I am the one who opens doors that no one can shut, who has the authority to close doors so that no one can open. And I know all about your pious and evil activities. Look, I have unlocked a door which is standing open in front of you, which no one can close again. I myself have done this because you didn't have much strength, and because I have kept my word, and because you did not deny my name. Watch me. I will expose those from the synagogue of Satan who allege to be Jews, who, in other words, who say they're spiritual believers, but who are not, who are liars. And I will make them come and bow down at your feet because I love you. That's a Christian personally. Jesus Christ loves you. He is the one who shuts the doors. He is the one who opens the doors and keeps them open. Now consider this. Authority, arrogance. You know, like the police officer, the principal, the parent. When you decide that you are justified to ignore the law or to ignore responsibility, or if you decide to retaliate against a legitimate authority, and this is part of what's going on in America today, rejection of authority by claiming that authority has overstepped their boundaries and authority is not treating people fair. And so now arrogance has decided to retaliate against legitimate authority. Maybe you think that you are not being treated fairly. Maybe you think your taxes are too high, so you hide it. Maybe you think the speed limits are too low, so you speed and use a radar detector to get around it. Or maybe your teacher doesn't teach you very well, so you got the right to cheat on your test. Or maybe your coach doesn't treat you fair, so you go around behind his back and talk about him and try to get him to change things. Or even get him fired. I've seen that happen on many occasions when parents didn't get their children to play, so they got the coach fired. Notice that in all of these examples, something unfair precipitated your action. God says unfairness, even cruel injustice, is never, never a justification for defying proper authority. So when you arrogantly disobey any authority, then you will put yourself above God's word, which actually demands that in all things you obey those who have the authority over you. Romans 2:21 through 23. Now, this is what's happening in America today. Does that sound like something you've heard before? unfair, treated unfair, so that our actions are to retaliate. You don't do that. Christians don't do that. The Bible says, let every soul be in subjection to the governing authorities, and that's even tyrannical or unjust authorities. For there is no authority except by God's appointment, and those who exist have been established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority, and listen carefully, whoever resists authority has opposed the authority of God. So if I resist the authority of the president, if I resist the authority of the Congress, the judicial, legislative, executive branch, I commit sin. If I resist the authority of the police officer, I commit sin. Well, what if the police officer is wrong? He's still the authority. He was put there by God. And you are now assuming that God made a mistake and you're going to retaliate. Anyone who opposes authority will receive condemnation to themselves. I'm quoting from the Bible. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you desire to have no fear of authority? The Bible says. Then do what is right, and you will have praise from the same. For it, that's the authority or the ruler of the government, it is God's servant for you and for your benefit. But if you do what is evil, that is, if you violate the law, be afraid. For it, that's the government, does not bear the sword, that's capital punishment, for nothing. Because it is God's servant, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. That's the habitual attitude of the criminal. He justifies why it's all right to steal. He justifies why it's all right to loot. He justifies why it's all right to burn and murder. And God will retaliate. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection to authority. This is the Bible again, I'm quoting. Not only because of the wrath, that's the punishment from God, the wrath of authority, but also for your conscience sake. And for this reason, you must pay your taxes, because those in authority are God's servants, devoting themselves to the governing. You must render to all what is due to them, taxes to whom taxes due, revenue to whom revenue is due, and respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due. I just read to you Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. God put us under authority. And he is not asleep when we get treated unfair. And he, at the right time, he will judge that authority who abuses you or abuses it. Arrogance will make you want to do the judge. Arrogance makes you want to squash the injustice yourself. But God demands, and I say this again, God demands you leave judgment to him. Deuteronomy 32, 35, Matthew 7, 1 and 2, 2 John 5, 26 and 27, or actually John, excuse me, John 5, 26 and 27, and Romans 12, 19. God demands you let him be the judge, not you. But arrogance always culminates in self-absorption. What did I tell you? Self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption. Me, 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 me. See, that becomes the center of your thoughts. What you want, the way you want it, at the time you want it, period, over and out. Arrogance isn't that consuming to begin with. Once it gets into your soul, one little thought at a time, it begins with anxiety about getting an A on a test, and then being selected the cheerleader, or being selected the president, or being selected the captain. And then you begin to reject the authority of your parents. You begin to reject the authority of the principal. You begin to reject the authority of the police officer. And you justify why it's okay for you to be a criminal. God makes his punishment clear. You have to remember that. Listen, if you're a young person, God commands you to be under the authority of your parents. In Matthew 15:4, God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever insults his father or mother must go on to his end by death. That's the sin unto death. Proverbs 30:17 has the metaphor about that. The raven of the valley will pick out the eye that mocks a father and despises obeying his mother, and the young vultures will eat it. That sink in with you? If you continually disobey your parents, God will punish you severely, even to the point of what is perceived as a premature death, because birds don't pluck out the eyes of living people, but of dead people. So carefully, very carefully, consider your attitude toward your parents, and then consider your attitude toward the police. Consider your attitude toward the principal. If your thoughts and actions are anything other than obedience and respect, no matter your age, then you're going to wind up being bird food, I assure you. You must understand that. Obeying is right. Right. God chose the authority. He put you under the authority. You're under the authority of the laws of your community. You're under the authority of the laws of your country, as well as under the authority of the police officers, the firefighters, and the soldiers who enforce the law. You got to remember that. We have a nation today full of arrogant individuals that want to make the law. We have a nation today full of arrogant individuals that reject the authority of the law. We have a nation today as a whole that has been preoccupied with the gifts and forgot who the giver is. And now we're in trouble. We've kicked God out of our schools. We kicked God out of the military. We kicked God out of everywhere. Can't have God here. No, we got to respect the privacy of people and give them the freedom and yada, 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 yada. As if it's going to hurt somebody because some pastor has a prayer at a football game. And yet you let that happen, and it's in the press, and it's on the news, and everybody has a heart attack because some local pastor prayed at a football game, or some coach prayed with his team. Satan is having a field day with the arrogance of the individuals of this nation. We are an arrogant nation, and we will deserve all that we get if we continue down this road. I hope you're listening. I hope you'll come back next week. Until then, I'm your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you very much for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.